Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and then verses 25 through 30. Hear now the word of the Lord. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children, sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, "We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Please pray with me. Lord, may the meditations of all of our hearts, the word of my mouth, be acceptable to you. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just a few days ago, earlier this week, we celebrated the 4th of July, which is the greatest summer holiday. And often that holiday finds many of us on vacation. You'll notice that our pews aren't as full this Sunday because there are a lot of people on vacation. Vacation is a time to relax, to get away from the daily routine, to hopefully rest, and even to be refreshed, and even more than that, regenerated. But how often have we returned home from a vacation only to be more tired than when we left? And how often have we returned to jobs with work piled on our desks waiting for our attention? So much for rest and relaxation. So we have to ask, is there anything even closely resembling something called real rest? Well, today we're going to take a look at part of chapter 11 of Matthew's gospel, and specifically those last three verses that I read this morning. This is one of, if not the best known passages of scripture in the Bible, one that many of us even memorized. It's familiar to us. We hear it a lot. I've even heard quite a few people at times say, "This is my favorite passage of scripture." And why do you think that is? Well, I think it's pretty obvious that all of us feel burdened at times and in desperate need of rest. I've been there. We've all been there. We're weary. We're carrying heavy loads. And it's not just simple physical weariness that I'm talking about, although that often is part of it. No, what I'm talking about is something even heavier than that. I'm talking about deep soul weariness. Think for a minute about all the things that weigh you down. You have too many commitments that demand your attention, and you feel like you're being pulled in different directions. You face overwhelming, if not sometimes impossible, problems. At times you may even begin to feel hopeless. There are setbacks, discouragements, disappointments, concerns about jobs, marriages, money, health, security, and the list goes on and on. So we're human, and our natural instinct then takes over, and we figure, well, I can deal with this on my own. So what do? We may try to put some space between us and the problem. We occasionally will turn on the TV or the radio, or we might go shopping, or we might pump ourselves up with some positive thoughts or read a positive book. Sometimes we even comfort ourselves, and you don't have to raise your hand, but with our favorite candy and ice cream. And at times we may even pick up the phone, call a friend, and together on the phone we have a pity party. And you know, our burdens are not simple, but they have a way of building on each other until we have something that is very complex and very heavy and weighs us down. So why would we even entertain the idea that there is a simple solution that promises to lift that weight? Well, we can, as long as we believe that the power behind that promise is strong enough to relieve the burden. Let me repeat that. As long as we believe that the power behind the promise is strong enough to relieve the burden. The promise, the very words spoken by the Son of God, are indeed strong enough. The message is simple, it's refreshing, and it offers hope. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." You know, at the time, Jesus was addressing crowds of people who were under the Jewish law, the law that had been given by God to help guide the people through the moral maze of their lives. Unfortunately, the original laws had been embellished, and often it was by well-intentioned followers, to the point that it had become impossible to live within the law. Even the religious leaders and the professionals were unable to stay within the boundaries of the law. So what chance then did the everyday, ordinary person have? But still, Jesus offers the invitation. He says, "Come." First, inviting those under the burden of the Jewish law, but extending it far beyond that. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened." All. That includes me, and it includes you. It's without a doubt the most simple, yet most powerful promise ever given. "Come to me," Jesus says. He doesn't offer a fourfold path to peace-giving enlightenment like the Buddha does. He doesn't offer five pillars of peace through submission as Islam does. Nor does he tell us to go and seek out some 12-step program that's going to offer to relieve our weariness. Jesus simply and very directly offers himself. "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Jesus had rebuked many of the cities and the religious leaders that had witnessed firsthand his miraculous deeds, demonstrating without a doubt his identity. Yet they still refused to believe in him. What he says, "Come to me," It means believe in who I am, believe in who I am to be, and therefore what I am able to do. For confirmation of his identity, we don't have to look any further than the opening verses of chapter 1 of John. In the beginning, the Word existed. He was with God, and he was God. He was in the beginning with God. He is God himself, the Creator, the eternal Word made flesh. So if we believe in him and accept who he is and trust in him, that should be quite enough. But is it? Not for most of us, because we want details. We want to know how and when our burdensome problems will be addressed. But Jesus doesn't provide those details. He simply promises us that they will be addressed. I will give you rest, he says. This is an assurance that he will keep his promise in the best way, in the best time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you." And Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, and you will find rest for your souls." No details, only the promise if we trust and we believe. Jesus is the one answer to every question, to every concern, every fear, and every need we will ever have. He simply offers himself, and only in him will we find hope and rest for our burdened souls. So if Jesus is promising us rest, then why does he say, "Take my yoke upon you"? When we think of a yoke, we probably think of a form of work, not rest. The yoke that we think about is a wooden frame fitted across the necks of two oxen or two work animals to make them an inseparable team, one which can be controlled. The yoke is harsh, it's unyielding. Neither animal is free to go in its own direction because the tight constraint holds them together. They're yoked together and under the control of a master driver. Now, Jesus takes this common word and he applies it to his promise. But he wants us to be yoked to him with a yoke that is not harsh, that is not sharp, but manageable and even mild. So when he invites us to take his yoke and learn from him, he is lovingly asking us to join him in harness, to allow him to take the lead, and to help us plow through our difficulties. So with all this talk about a yoke, we should surmise that there may be some work involved, and that's the only way we're going to find rest. But we need to know what that labor is, what we're being asked to do for the rest that we so desperately seek. We find the answer in John 6, 29, where it says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And again in John 15, 4, "Abide in me." Two words, believe and abide. That's the work that God requires of us. That's the yoke that Jesus calls us to put on. And once we're yoked with Jesus, he promises rest for our souls. Now, this doesn't mean that you can kick back in an easy chair with a cold drink and a remote control. And it doesn't mean that you can now start working half days or even a 3-day week. The Greek translation of the word rest is anapausin, which means respite or temporary rest, or in military terminology, R&R, rest and relaxation, in order to be refreshed for the work ahead, abiding in him and believing in him, work that is motivated by a passionate desire to see God's kingdom realized, a future in which all of God's dreams will finally come true. There is a legend that Jesus, in Joseph's carpenter shop, made the best yokes in all of Galilee. Men from all over the country came to him to buy the best yokes that skill could make. The ox was brought in and measurements taken, and the yoke was roughed out in wood. And then when the ox was brought back, the yoke was put on and carefully adjusted so that it would fit well, not gall the neck of the beast. But of all the carpenters who made the yokes, it was said that those that Jesus made fit the best. The shops in those days always had a sign above the door, and it has even been suggested that the one on Joseph's shop in Nazareth may have said, "My yokes fit well." So when Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden light," what he means is this: the life I give you is not a burden to gall you. Your task is made to measure, specifically meant to fit you, and I will be yoked alongside you. Believe and abide in me, and together we will face your struggles. Eugene Peterson's Message translation of this passage really spoke to me as I was preparing this sermon. It seems like it is very direct and quite easy to understand. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Real rest. That is what our deep soul weariness yearns, and what only God can provide. Believe and abide in him, and you will find real rest." Amen.